Welcome to episode 189 of the Uncorked Gamers. I'm Dan, and let's get this thing going. Starting off, Atari co-founder Ted Dabney died at the age of 81. A close friend of his confirmed that he had passed. That's just, yeah, just the way life is. Another legend, gone. Moving on, PUBG Corporation, the company behind PUBG, is suing Epic Games, the company behind Fortnite, in South Korea. PUBG being a South Korean-based company, they are suing Epic Games because this is stuff that we've gone over in the past. Epic Games uses the Unreal Engine 4, basically the company that created it, which is what PUBG used to create the game PUBG. And it's now those allegation that Epic had copied the idea from PUBG Corporation while they were producing the game, so they can get a battle royale game out in relative quick time to when PUBG would have been releasing. So that's happening. That's going on in Korea. We'll update you with any news as it comes out. Sony has unveiled a new limited edition blue PlayStation 4. This is a PS4 Slim model. It's gorgeous. I'm not gonna lie. It is a gorgeous color. It's a blue PS4 with the four PlayStation button logos on the front, emblazoned in gold. It comes with a blue controller and has all the buttons for the touchpad, also emblazoned in gold. Coming out June 8th for $300. 1 terabyte hard drive. It's gorgeous. It's probably the first time in a long time that I've seen a special edition console that I am seriously considering wanting to pick up just because of the way it looks. If you haven't seen it, go ahead and take a look. If you haven't picked up a PS4, this might be the one you want to pick up because it's nice. Mega Man 11 has an official release date, and it's going to come to your consoles October 2nd. It's also going to be a Mega Man amiibo available for the Switch. That's a cool amiibo, actually. I might want to pick up that amiibo. It might be the first amiibo I pick up. Stalker 2, as we reported on last week, was announced. Apparently, the announcement did not involve anybody working on the game except for Sergei Grigorovich. So, any of the people working on the game, the company that owns the game, nobody knew about this announcement. He just did it. So we'll see how this goes moving forward and whether or not the game's going to get canceled again because he didn't. He just ran his mouth. Got me all excited. I mean, I'm so excited, but now I'm not so sure about how it's what's going to go on. What's going down? All right. Xbox apparently laid off 12 staff members to replace them with volunteers. Unpaid staff members that were trained as volunteers. This is for their ambassadors program. And let's see, there was a tweet to Xbox support. Major port of call for those seeking assistance with their consoles and games are now seemingly being handled by the ambassadors. That's Xbox's statement to Polygon. PlayStation has announced its theater experiences for E3 this year. Of course, this is going to be on June 11th. The theaters and cities that are going to have it are going to be Century City 15 in Los Angeles, LA Live 14 in Los Angeles, Meadows 12, Lone Tree in Colorado, Avenue 20 in Jacksonville, Florida, Waterford Lakes 20 in Orlando, Florida, Hollywood 24 in NI-85 Chamblee, Georgia, Boise Stadium 22 in Boise, Idaho, River East 21 in Chicago, Illinois, Galaxy 14 in Indianapolis, Indiana, Fenway Stadium 13 in Boston, Massachusetts, Egan 16 in Egan, Minnesota, Kansas City 18 Cinemas in Kansas City, Missouri, Montana. What's MO? Well, if you live in that state, you know which one. You know Kansas City. You know where it is. Briar Creek Stadium 14 in Raleigh, North Carolina, Village Square 18 in Las Vegas, Nevada, Union Square 14 in New York, New York, Ewok 42nd Street 13 in New York, New York, Transit Center 18 Plus IMAX in Williamsville, New York, Georgeville Square 16 in Columbus, Ohio, Tinseltown, USA, Oklahoma City in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Lloyd Center 10 Cinema, Portland, Oregon, Riverview Plaza 17 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Opry Mills 20 Plus IMAX in Nashville, Tennessee, Houston Marquee Stadium 23 in Houston, Texas, Salt Lake City 16 in Salt Lake City, Utah. Now, the tickets are currently not available. There's also going to be showings in Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, and Chile. You can see all those listings on the PlayStation blog. Let's see. You'll receive a seat by registering for a ticket online. However, if you check in at the theater 30 minutes before the showtime, you have to check in if you get the tickets online. Otherwise, your ticket will be given to anybody that's waiting in line for a wait list. First come, first serve. The show times are going to be 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and let's see, 2 a.m. on June the 12th in the UK. You got to be 17 years of age or older, because it's and if you're in Brazil, you have to be 18 or older. The valid form of ID on hand. And of course, if you show up and you watch it, this is for the press conference. You see it in the theaters, it'll be a goodie bag. You'll get some digital rewards, like a special poster and stuff like that. Nothing really nearby me, so nothing I'm going to go see. I'll just watch it on TV like most people. The free games for the month of June have been announced. We got the Xbox. We got the Twitch Prime membership, because they're doing that. And we got the PlayStation ones. Let's start out with Twitch Prime. If you're a Twitch Prime member, again, this is you'd have to download these through the Twitch desktop app. And these are not Steam keys or anything like that. But they have Tumblestone, kind of like a upside-down version of Columns. Treadnoughts, which is a multiplayer tank battle game. Strafe, which is a first-person shooter playing homage to the first-person shooters of old. And Banner Saga 1 and 2, very popular games, turn-based strategy games. Apparently have branching storylines depending on what you do in the story. And choices you make in the first game can carry over into the second game. A lot of people like those games. Those are probably two that I'm going to be looking into playing. For Xbox, we got Assassin's Creed Chronicles Russia. This is part of the 2D Assassin's Creed games that came out. There was one in China. There was one in another country. I can't remember off the top of my head. Then there's the third one, which was in Russia. I think people kind of liked them. Didn't hear too much about them when they came out. So you get part 3 of that trilogy. I don't know how connected they are, but that's for June 1st through 30th, so it's going to be the whole month of June. Available on the Xbox One. You also get, starting June 16th to July 15th, the Smite Gold Bundle, which is going to have a whole bunch of deities for you to play with out of the bat, upgrades and stuff like that for the free-to-play game Smite, which is a MOBA. Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed, from June 1st through the 15th for the Xbox One and 360. You know, Sonic Racing game. I've heard people say they like it. I've never played it. Lego Indiana Jones 2, The New Adventures, from June 16th through the 30th on the Xbox One and the Xbox 360. That's what you're getting from the Xbox. Nothing really tickling my fancy on that list that I would say you should go check out. Nothing I have too much knowledge with on those ones. Finally, let's do the PlayStation games for June. I'm actually not going to lie. This probably has the lineup that I'm most excited for. And that list contains Squares for the Vita, Atomic Ninjas for the Vita, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier for the PS3, Zombie Driver HD for the PS3, Trials Fusion for the PS4, and the one I'm most looking forward to is XCOM 2 for the PS4. This is a game that's been on my wish list since it came out. I just never got around to getting it, and now I have a copy of it. So I'm probably going to play the hell out of that. Let's see here. We got Bungie has announced a partnership for a non-Destiny game. This is a partnership with publisher NetEase from China. And NetEase is going to raise $100 million for Bungie's next game. And this is not a Destiny game, because Destiny is a Bungie and Activision contract. So that'll be pretty interesting. Actually, it'll be pretty interesting to see what this comes out on. If it comes out on consoles, or if it's just going to be a PC-only release. And I'd be interested to see them try something that wasn't a shooter. Because I think it's been a while since they've done anything that wasn't a shooter. I'd like to see them kind of stretch their wings out again. Maybe get some new ideas flowing in their office. Two developers are keeping Guild Wars 1 alive. Those are ArenaNet Studio Technical Director Stephen Clark Wilson, a longtime fan of the game and now somebody that works at the company, and Bill Freist. First of all, they were told to move the game over off of the servers to new servers, and servers got fried and stuff like that. And Clark noticed that there was a bug in the game, which was a similar bug that they had in Guild Wars 2 that made the ping awful, made people's gameplay experiences pretty slow. It didn't affect everybody, but he noticed the bug, fixed it. Then they found a way to be able to make the game look better than it did before by forcing. So the game would have a picture mode, and then when you took a picture, it would boost the graphics for the time it took to take the picture, all the frames and everything like that. So they found a way to have modern computers just brute force their way to just playing the game with the higher graphics and things like that. And you know, they're still looking at ways to improve the game, keeping the bots from destroying the gameplay experience and stuff like that. And they're actually still working on the game with some help from the development team over at ArenaNet, doing some QA questions and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool. If you never played Guild Wars, it was a pretty popular MMO game, made really popular because of its PvP aspect. It was very, kind of, in a way, PvP focus, and in a very different way than most other games. So you pick your two classes, and you're going to have the spells in this class, but you can only hold, like, around 8 spells, and you have to mix and match to choose which spells you wanted, which made the PvP aspect a lot more interesting for people, because you kind of knew what people would have, but you weren't entirely sure. I think it was like best 2 out of 3, and you switch your spells up between each round. So it kind of became a game of like guessing what they were going to use with some prior knowledge after that first round. Atari, the Atari Retro VCS, the Indiegogo, has launched. That's right. They're saying that the console is going to come around in July of 2019. They released the specs for the box. It's going to have a Radeon R7 processor, 32GB hard drive, 4GB of DDR4 RAM, expandable storage. It's going to connect to the internet, support streaming video and online multiplayer games. It's going to have voice control through the 4 front-facing mics, 2 new controllers, one in the retro style, which is a stick, and one in the more modern style that connect via Bluetooth. And the whole thing's going to run off of Ubuntu OS, which is basically Linux. They haven't revealed a bunch of games. They're showing, you know, saying like, oh yeah, we still have all our older Atari arcade games and 2600 games. So like we have some new games like Tempest 4. And they're saying, you know, we're going to have developers making games for us too and stuff like that. So don't worry about it. But most people are a little concerned about the developers that are going to be making games for this. Also, a lot of concern people have is the price point. The wood panel model, which is, I mean, honestly, the one you should get. It's going to cost $339. It'll come with both controllers, but still $339. That's pretty expensive for a console in this day and age. You can get a cheaper option that comes without any of the controllers, and it comes in just a pure black model, the Onyx model, for $199. But the Indiegogo has done well. It actually crashed the Indiegogo page for a while, and actually even Atari's own website's been having issues keeping up with the traffic. And it's already exceeded its $100,000 goal. It's at $1.6 million as of this article's printing from Gizmodo. $1.6 million. That's insane. There's some speculation that people are picking it up because it's using Linux. So it's basically a little Linux computer. You'll be able to do a bunch of stuff with that once they crack it and stuff like that. So that might be why it's doing so well. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing plays out in the long run. Or not, they'll be actually be able to get enough support with newer games to pique people's interest to keep the game system going. New Pokemon games were announced. If you haven't heard about this already, be a little bit surprised. The internet was going crazy about it. There was a free Switch game. There was a Pokemon Quest. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's like a weird, I don't know. It's a little RPG type thing. I don't know. But the one everybody was really excited for is Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, and Let's Go Eevee. 2 new Pokemon games coming to Switch in November. They're in the style of Pokemon Yellow, so you're back in the Kanto region, back catching the first 151 Pokemon, but depending on what version you pick, you can have either a Pikachu or a Eevee following you around. Looks like you can have other Pokemon as well, such as Bulbasaur following you around. You can ride on Pokemons, like Onix and stuff like that. So people are pretty excited for this game. Some people not so much because it's like, it's not the new Pokemon, whatever. It's just going to be an easy mode for kids and whatever. But people are excited about it because, I mean, you get to have your Pokemon out running around. It's kind of like the TV show, kind of, you know, Pokemon Yellow and stuff like that. back in the Kanto region, the true classic 151 Pokemon. That's right, baby. Charmander's back in pure form with updated graphics. It does look pretty good, I'm not gonna lie. And the last biggest news, in my opinion, of the week is the announcement of Fallout 76. This is a new Fallout game in the Fallout universe that was kind of leaked. No, actually, the trailer came out. It was full-on announced. Being made by Bethesda. Not exactly sure what type of game this is, although there's a lot of speculation. Also, apparently there was a confidant, a anonymous person giving out information that the game's going to be a MMO survival game along the lines of Rust, where you can go out into the world, play with other people, build bases and stuff like that, and just kind of survive, which kind of goes in line with the lore of Vault 76, which the game is based off of. They were to be released into the world 20 years after the last bomb fell, which is all the other vaults typically around 200 years is when they were supposed to be opened. So they were supposed to be open 20 years after the bombs fell so they could start rebuilding society. So it makes sense that the game would be kind of like Rust, where you'd go around scavenging, building things, and, you know, fighting super mutants and stuff like that. So we'll probably hear more about that at E3. We'll hear more about most of the other leaks that have happened. So many things going around E3 make me wondering if there's even a point anymore for E3. It's going to be an interesting one. It seems like nobody really cares about being in E3. They all want to do their own thing now. Yeah. Alright, and that's all the news we got. I know it's a short episode. I don't have a lot of banter going on. Not a lot of people going back and forth. I did get to play a beta for The Crew 2. It's not my kind of game. I mean, if you're like a driving enthusiast, I can see how it could be totally into it. I like and dislike the open world aspect of it. You can just drive around if you want to. Do little like side missions and stuff like that. I don't like any of the characters in the time that I play. I don't like the soundtrack. They have you fly a plane, boat, and a car in the intro and stuff like that. The plane mechanics, I absolutely hated it. Absolutely hated the plane mechanics. I mean, I could see how that mechanic could be fun if I had like a flight stick, but using the controller, I was confused. You can't invert the controls. Just had a bad time with that. The boat mechanic was took a few seconds to get used to. There's a lot of customization, of course. It just wasn't for me. I know the first one didn't do so great. So we'll see how this one does.
The game focuses heavily on influencing social media in the game, where instead of focusing on winning races, you focus on trying to get followers so that you can get upgrades to your cars.
Right, so it has the participation awards.
Oh, yeah. You get participation awards, which is meh. And it's, the customization is there, but it really doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't really matter what you do. It wasn't very interesting. The cars are pretty, but nothing else in the world is.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's got a bunch of weird gimmicks, like, oh, take a picture of a condor or a deer or whatever, and it's kind of like, why? Why am I doing that in this racing game? So I can get money, so I can buy stuff. Why am I not making money by just doing races? I mean, which you kind of can do and stuff like that. It has, like, three forms of economy. I feel like there's just too much for a racing game that I would enjoy. Like, I want a racing game. I want tracks, pre-laid out tracks. I just want to go from track to track. I don't want to have to try to find or unlock tracks by doing a specific storyline. I don't know. That's just me. If you like the first Crew and it sounds familiar, you'll probably like the second Crew. If you haven't tried it out and this doesn't sound good, you know, it is what it is. Also, Monster Hunter World had a new monster, a new Elder Dragon came out, Lunastra, which is the female version of the Teostra, their mates in the games. And damn, that's a hard fight. Oh my goodness, it was probably the hardest monster that game has had, hands down. It does an area of effect attack. It just, like, basically does a lot of damage over time across the battlefield. She moves very fast, does her attacks very fast. And if you're fighting one with a Teostra, they have a special attack where they basically just explode the entire area that you're in, dealing massive amounts of damage. It's a really cool fight. And the weapons are gorgeous. Gorgeous weapons for this monster. I mean, if you've been out of Monster Hunter World and you haven't been heard about it, you weren't sure too how you felt about it, whatever, jump back in, do this fight. Yeah, I mean, this fight's tougher than Devil Joe, in my opinion. It was pretty epic. And I love the fact that they actually included the whole, like, bonding, what they called it, that they bonded together, so they both of them would come together and do a massive attack. I think that's a cool thing that I haven't seen in any of the other Monster Hunter games prior, so seeing more of that would be pretty cool. And, I mean, there's other pairs. I mean, like, if they went back and redid it for Rathian and Rathalos, maybe they did, like, a fireball barrage or something like that. I think it's a really cool idea. I'd love to see more of that from the game. I'm not sure how many more pairs there are in the storylines or in the canon. How many more male and female pairs there are in the games prior to this. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I thought it was really cool. It was a really hard fight. It's a nice little progressive storyline that they gave it. There was like 3 or 4 quests. And it honestly just got me back into Monster Hunter again. Played it for the last couple of days. With that, let's move on to the Encore Gamers question of the week. The question of the week was, what is your next backlog game that you're going to beat? We got no responses on Twitter or the Facebook, so I'm going to go ahead and start off. I think the next backlog game that I'm going to beat is probably going to be either Valkyria Chronicles or Etrian Odyssey 4. These are two games that I'm pretty close to beating already. I just need to settle down and play them. They're both at that point of endgameness where they get a little cheap. Especially the Etrian Odyssey games, they've always kind of had this thing where you just, some bosses will just be able to kill your party outright, and you just have to learn the pattern of when they do it. Which I've honestly never been a big fan of. But I am close to beating that game. I'm like, I think 2 main bosses away from beating the storyline, and then there's a little bonus extra storyline. I probably won't go for 100% completion on that one. Valkyria Chronicles, I'm in the last mission or two, I think. I'm in the last chapter, because the game pretty much said so. So that one probably gonna be easier to beat. But it has gotten pretty hard in the last couple missions. But I should be able to beat that one relatively soon if I don't get sidetracked by Monster Hunter or Moonlighter, which I've also been enjoying recently. Or just dead from work, because I just come home dead from work every day. Still getting used to it. It's a lot more physically intensive than most of the other jobs I've had in my life. So it's an adjustment period for sure.
I really don't know.
You mean, can you stop playing Skyrim to play a different game?
I don't play Skyrim that much.
I'm sorry, Elder Scrolls Online. The online Skyrim.
I actually haven't played that one that much. probably Titan Quest. Because we got so close to the end, and I didn't want it to end, so I stopped playing.
And then your computer died.
And then my computer died, and then my save vanished with the computer. So I am working on building my character back up to level 53, so it matches your character, so that we can finish playing Titan Quest.
Well, there's another game.
Just in time for the new DLC.
There's another game I guess I might be in my backlog too then. Alright, next question of the week is going to be, what game had the best plot twist for you?
Dun dun dun!
Everybody, thanks for listening. It was a short episode, but I just want to get the news out. Didn't want to let it build up for too long. E3 is just right around the corner. Want to get that all out of the way, so when E3 rolls around, we could just talk about E3. And yeah, PlayStation is having some sales.
Right before E3.
Yeah, right before E3. A lot of games like God of War 3 is going to be on sale and stuff like that. So keep an eye out on that if you're a PlayStation user. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I know the genre topic FPS that Jeff suggested, we're going to hold off on that see if we can get Jeff back in next week. And if we can, we'll just do it then. If not, I'll just give you my three FPS games that I enjoy that are pure FPS games. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hopefully the short one was more palatable. Have a good one. Bye.